I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Interrupting this coaching search, it's 11 Personnel. I'm Nick Roush. He's Adam Luckett. We're presented by our friends at Monticello Bank here to talk a little football, a little golf in the midst of basketball chaos. But Luckett, we've got to start from the top with the basketball chaos because we pride ourselves, we're big fans of coaching searches from afar, right? Like it's theater and college athletics' most wildest ways. Now we've got to experience one. I mean, I vaguely remember the end of the Joker Phillips and the start of the Mark Stoops era. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, because I was actually writing for KSR at the time, and I was trying to get the Joker Phillips fired post fired up quick enough. But the boss lady at the time, Matt Tucker, actually beat me to it. But I remember there being like a handful of candidates, but I remember it happening rather quickly and quietly, and Stoops wasn't even really the guy. So I don't remember it being very dramatic. There wasn't a lot of social media around then. So I'm curious what sort of lessons you've taken from this experience that maybe we can learn for when the football coaching search comes up, which will probably happen sooner rather than later. We were about this close to having one in December. You're muted.
Great start. I think the fan base at large, Nick, has kind of learned that this is chaos. I mean, this is unfiltered 24/7 chaos, and it's sources and rumors, and you're trying to figure out what's true and what's false, what's a leverage play, what's not, what's a smokescreen, what's not. So you kind of have to figure out what's real and what's not. And, you know, interview details do not get leaked out. Like Mitch Barnhart is not leaking out how their interview went, or Danny Hurley is not leaking out how the interview went. Anything like that is probably like you got to take with very much a grain of salt. And so it's learning what to like maybe put some faith in and what to not, and just kind of enjoying the ride, because you never know what's going to happen. You never know who's going to break what, and what name could pop up today, what name could not. I think you bring back the Stoops search. Like it was felt like Matt. It was Matt kind of leading the charge, slowly leaking out names. Sonny Dykes, Butch Jones, off the top of my head.
Those are the two big ones that I recall. Yeah. Butch Jones was at Cincinnati at the time. Sonny Dykes was at, was he at Cal or was he at La Tech?
He was still at Louisiana Tech at that time.
Yeah. Okay.
And so they slowly leak out and they have interviews and then goes on. But Kentucky football is not as big an entity, right, as Kentucky basketball search. There's a lot more national people, Nick, trying to break the Kentucky basketball search. So you got a lot more hands in the pot and feeling around. So that brings a whole other animal, because I think there's some stuff you would like to keep quiet, but there's not much you can. And in this situation, Nick, it's very, very rare for an AD not to have a press conference after a coach leaves, whether by firing, resignation, or leaving for another job. That is very rare. You don't hardly ever see that. The fact that we didn't see it this time, it's part, Mitch Barnhart doesn't really like to talk to the media. And second, they need to hire someone fast. And I think that's what you're seeing. They're really pushing for, I think, to close this down sooner rather than later, where other searches, you can take more time. But even football now, you kind of have to move super fast because the portal stuff.
Right.
The Snoop search, Mitch took his time. You could take 2 weeks for a search back then, and it wasn't a huge deal.
Correct.
When Tubby left, they could take a week, 10 days, 2 weeks. It wasn't a huge deal. It's not like that now. It needs to happen fast. So I think that's kind of some of that's dealing with some of the pandemonium. And I think we're all learning together as a fan base you know, what, how to kind of handle this. I had someone tweet me out today. I don't know what to believe. This is just total chaos. I said, this is a coaching search.
Exactly.
They want you thinking this when you really should be thinking that. And if you look at it through that prism, it can sometimes help it make more sense. And you can kind of see what's coming. But if you're chewing on every piece of candy they dabble out there, you're gonna drive yourself crazy.
Yeah, I especially liked when the picture of Scott Drew eating lunch. It's like, well, why would he put that out there if he was staying? And it's like, well, if he was staying, he would just say it. He wouldn't just put a picture out there of him eating lunch, right? Like, that's just a here's
also there was plane tracking going on.
Oh,
at
yeah,
that point.
Whew. That was something
so
else.
I was not surprised that you saw that, that you saw like some physical evidence that he wasn't in Lexington. So I don't know how much that had to do with that tweet, but it had something to do with that tweet. I will bet a sizable amount of change.
It strikes me as a, hey, you all were following our plane. Well, you were wrong, but really you were right. It's just the
trying
plane
to get you all sent. Yeah,
exactly. The plane, there was somebody important on that flight that they didn't want to know was on that flight. So that's where that part of the lesson I've learned very well. I think the other thing I've learned too is that it feels like you get a bunch of stuff early in the day, and then there's like takes in the afternoon, and then there's stuff at night. So
I will say
that you can't go to sleep too early.
That it is slow right now, Nick, is usually a telltale sign that a hire is about to happen, or a decision on a zoned in target is about to happen. Because typically, if it gets quiet and you don't get the zoned in tweet, then the next day you're probably going to get something, whether it's a person turning down a job or a person not taking the job. And I think that's where we are now in the Kentucky search. And I think we'll find out. We'll get some direction or some current status of where things stand, I think, probably tomorrow morning.
And that's exactly what the Baylor beat reporter told Jacob Polacek on KSR Plus. If you're not on KSR Plus, that's the other great part about this coaching search is we've got the message board up and rolling. So we were prepared for all of this. And if you aren't on right now, UK1 gets you 2 months for a dollar, better than our original sign-up bonus. But it's one of those things like it where I remember when we discussed getting the board, it's like, man, we really got to have this for certain times. And it's a good thing this thing was already buzzing a little bit, because now it's humming. It's absolutely humming. I'm loving all the action right there, right now. And we should be getting a lot of buzz, too, on the football side of things, because you mentioned the portal opening. Buddy, it's happening, right? Is it Monday or
Tuesday.
Wednesday?
Tuesday the 16th.
Tuesday the 16th, the transfer portal opens for the spring session. We already got one portal entrant today in Lavelle Wright, who I'm going to just apologize in advance because every time I do my running back room stuff, I just kept forgetting that he hadn't transferred yet. And that's not a knock on that guy or that kid. I always thought he was he's one of the more polite, well-spoken, put-together kids. But he got his shot when Rodriguez was suspended. And it didn't work, right? Like, sadly, Lavelle Wright's best moment was, or his most memorable moment was tripping Berrion Brown at Oxford, right? I can't name another moment from his time at UK. And it's a shame because I remember watching him when he was at North Hardin. He was incredible in that game against Douglas. He beat up my DeSales team. The guys I know over at DeSales were really high on him. It didn't work out, but to bring it back to the spring game preview, Bush Hamden the other day said that the running backs have been really consistent. And I think if there was a nice takeaway we had from watching spring practice was like, okay, they're not tackling, but like, I think there's something here. And to the portal, like we're going to know one way or another, but I don't think they're going to be desperate to go into the portal to get a running back unless like the kid from Oregon State is just begging to come here, which I don't think is going to be the case, but unless it's a best available sort of scenario.
Yeah, on the portal, I've got a preview coming tomorrow. KSR Plus will be up first thing in the morning. It's basically just a rundown of where Kentucky's spending scholarship capital, gives a brief look back at what they did in the winter portal, and then it goes by each position and kind of tells you where Kentucky sits from a roster standpoint. And with Lavelle Wright, I think, Nick, this was one you could kind of see coming. Like, if you were going to guess, he would probably would have been top of the list. He just got passed by really two freshmen, right? Jamari Mocox, a redshirt freshman, and then Jason Patterson, a true freshman. And getting into that running back situation specifically, I think they feel pretty good with their top three.
Yeah.
Chip Traynham, Demi Sumo-Karungbe, and then Jason Patterson. I think Chip's their one. DSK's their kind of third down back. And then I think Patterson's that second option that's going to play a lot. I think that's what the plan is over there right now. And one of the hidden parts of the offense last year, unfortunate parts, was RB2 just didn't get any run, mainly because they couldn't snap. They got no plays off, right? So, like, Ray Davis, when you look up the numbers, he got a full workload of in a modern offense, but RB2 just got no touches. And that's going to be somewhat different this year. I'm not sure if Traynham will have the same RB1 load that we saw, but DSK is going to play a role, but I also think Patterson's got a chance to really play a significant role in this offense. And they've just been really, I think, super pleased with him up to this point. And he's one of the players, I think, if you're making a list who you're most excited to see, I would put him out there just to see what he looks like, how he runs the pads. Yeah. But again, with running backs, it's hard to tell when they're not going full goal to the ground at the same time.
That's correct. And we had somebody ask us earlier, like, are we going to see real football? What's it going to look like? Is this going to be a spring game? And the fact is, we don't know the format. It might get news dumped on us Friday afternoon. It might be a Thursday deal. But essentially, it's going to be my guess is it's going to be a regular practice, but with extended team periods and probably two drives with the ones. And they're going to go thud, a.k.a. we're not tackling to the ground. You just bat them up with shoulder pads. You try to get your head across. I think if you were an official ball and a whistle, and if they're telling them where to spot the ball, if the tackler doesn't have his head across his shoulders, then that's broken tackle, right? But, you know, it's going to be a mock of a simulated scrimmage. And how many times have we talked about, like, well, they don't want to show anything. They don't want to show anything. And Bush said the other day, the one thing that they do want to show is just that they are how they're going to play faster. And that gets to your talk about not getting the second running back a lot of snaps. Whenever Stoops talks about playing more snaps, he's just like, I'm tired of y'all asking me why X and Y didn't get more touches. It's because we didn't have enough snaps. We need to get more snaps to get the ball with all these talented playmakers we have. So if there's one big picture takeaway that we get from Saturday, it'll probably be that. And not that they're moving at light speed by any means, but just that, oh, okay, like it's getting up and down without them just like, doing the spring game, we're going to throw it 40 yards downfield and just put on a show where it's like an all-star game with same dunk contest, right? Like I think they want to give a couple series of legit good football from the ones, even though they've got injuries to the defense that are limiting them.
You talk about the 11-on-11 thud. See, I was interested, would they do that? Or would they just do that for maybe a couple reps and just do a huge 7-on-7? Right, like just do a huge 7-on-7 thing where you're throwing the football and you're letting the receivers go up and make catches, and you're seeing the quarterbacks throw the ball, kind of like they do in the open practice that they used. That I don't know if they still do the fan day.
The fan day practice, yeah, they do a lot of 7 because they only have shells in on that, so yeah. They can't do.
I was wondering if they would just do stuff like pretty much have like that kind of format. So I'd be interested to see kind of what that looks like.
I think part of the reason why you'll get more thud is because they want the offensive line to simulate getting to the line, getting the play called in, because that's also the big name of the game is playing clean, efficient, execute, you know, that sort of, you know, gobbledygook that sounds boring until you can't get in a damn play last year. Yeah. You know?
The clean and efficiency part is notable, because it seems like they are having issues, which should not be a surprise, I don't think.
Right. Yeah, no.
With the coaches on the sideline and like alignment and snapping the ball and going from huddle or no huddle to getting lined up and snapping it and doing the right thing.
Mics in the helmets. Like, there's a lot of new.
Alignment and assignment. Like, it seems like they're having some issues with that, and that's concerning. But they do have time to fix that out. And I think it's important. Like, they still have they have OTAs now in, what, June, I think? They can do OTAs?
Correct.
So that's when the coaches can get out and work with them. Mm-hmm. So I bet that's going to be a big part of the OTAs. So I'll be interested to see that. Do we see some kind of funky reps there, or guys in the right place? Because I think that's been one of the bigger parts of spring practice, is something that has been an issue that I think they expected, but it seems like it maybe has been a bigger issue than they would like. So that's also something I think to keep an eye on when you're looking at how fast the offense is moving. What are they doing? If they go slow, that might have something to do with it, because they've been having some issues just getting aligned and getting snapping the ball off and doing the right assignments.
And it was one of those things where they got early great returns. But like any offensive install, Luckett, you do great the first couple of days, then you add on more to it, and then you take a couple steps backward. Most of the focus is going to be on the offense. Evan asked if there's anything we should look for in defense. They got shredded several times last year. Evan, I hate to break it to you, but
they're very banged up.
They're going to get shredded on Saturday, and I think that's kind of the point.
They might have like seven starters out, Nick, and they might add a corner here in the spring window that might come in and start. Like, it is very much going to be their twos and some threes.
Yeah, like Maxwell Harrison might do one series, and I get Pop and the linebackers might. But, I mean, Luckett, when we saw that practice, it really was just Pop, Hairston, and a D-lineman or two.
Ripka was out there.
Yeah. So, like, but, like, everybody's hurt. And I don't think Deion's hurt. I think they're just saying, Deion, you don't need to practice. Like, this is stupid. We're not going to risk it.
Weaver was out there, too.
Yeah, Weaver was. JJ was out there. But, like, for the most part, this defense is a shell of itself. And Stoops is not I don't think it's an overconfident thing, but I don't think Stoops is also worried, because how many of those guys too, Luckett, have played 3 years of football here, right? I mean,
right.
Ideally, I'd like to see the safeties out there, because they struggled. And they let some momentum slip away from 2022. So ideally you have more people out there, but they're going to be banged up. If there is a defensive player you want to watch, though, well, so let's go through some numbers of some guys we want to see. I think the obvious one is just 10, Jansen Dunn, on defense. He's probably the one defensive guy where, okay, I'm going to judge critically, because he's going to be going up against Berrion or probably Dane, right, when he's running with the runt once. He'll slide on inside to the slot as well, and they're just going to ask a lot from him this year, right? He's going to be playing kind of that Drew Phillips role. And we got good reviews this spring, Luckett. I want to see how it pays off when it's actually real.
Yeah, I mean, he's been, I think, a big winner to this point. And to me, if you're asking me to put a crystal ball or hat or submission in, I think he's their starting nickel, Nick. And then I think they want to bring someone in to be a starting cornerback, Jansen Dunn. I think they really liked his progress. He's had the talent and the potential. He was a big-time recruit, went to Ohio State. And I just think he's starting to put it together. And so I think he's going to be a starter and a key cog for them. But that other corner spot is just worrisome. And that's just kind of where they're at. Everywhere else on defense, now, some people probably won't like that they didn't address specific spots, but they've pretty much got placeholders in there, starters and guys locked in, right? Like, Deion Walker's starting. All those seniors on the defensive line are starting and playing. J.J. Weaver's starting to jack. You don't have to worry about that. You got your two off-ball linebackers. You got four safeties that I think they feel comfortable with. And Maxwell Harrison is starting that corner. And now I think you can kind of plug Dunn in there at bare minimum at the nickel spot. And then Alex Safari is kind of your standard down Sam linebacker. So I think from that I think they feel comfortable. And I think that goes back to when Mark Stoops had his press conference right before the portal opened in December. He talked about the continuity piece that they had. All these coaches returning, all these players returning, all these bank snaps returning. And then you add a guy who's played off-ball middle linebacker in this league in Dumas Johnson. Then they get everybody back in the front. I just think they feel good about their current standing, regardless of some of the injuries that they're dealing with right now.
It just dawned on me, Pop Dumas Johnson, he's going to get his intro to Dumas Walker on Saturday. We got to get, make sure Carl Nathy gets the board man to fire it up so he can learn it. Who are some other, I've got another player I want to see. Do you got a number, a choice that fans should keep an eye on?
Yeah, I mentioned Jason Patterson earlier.
2-6.
Just to see what he looks like. Jamori Macklin was one, but he's been out all spring. So that's unfortunate. Gerald Mincy, maybe, just to see what he looks like and how he moves. Just going to interviews, this is a monster of a human being.
Yeah.
This is one of the biggest guys I've seen covering the team. I mean, I don't know. You can talk that. But Deion's big up top, but he's got, skinny legs, right?
Yeah.
Mincy's just big head to toe, if that makes sense.
Really, it's kind of
like Deion's built like a basketball player.
It's kind of like Landon Young-esque, except I think Mincy might – Landon Young looks kind of normal. He doesn't look that fat or anything. But I think Mincy's kind of similar in that regard where he's just a thick, big dude. Between him and Cox, they're both good size. I'm really trying to think of offensive linemen who are similarly sized.
Jalen Farmer is the other one on the O-line. I thought he looked good in the old practice we got to go to last week.
My prediction for the MVP, the guy that everybody's going to be talking about after this game, is number 17 on the offense, Harley Gilmore, because Berrion and Dane aren't going to get a lot of run. Gilmore's got a ton of speed, and the way they've kind of phrased it too, it's not that he's just a burner. The little things he's picked up rather quickly. So I think you're going to see him get a lot of run, and it'll be one of those days where kind of like I remember when Jamin Davis – it was before it wasn't his breakout year. It was a year or two before, but you were he had 15 tackles in a spring game. This guy has something down the road, right? It's just, it might take a little bit of time. I think we're going to have a similar performance from wide receiver Harley Gilmore, during Saturday's spring game.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good call. I think on the defensive line, obviously Gerard Smith, Brian Robinson are two players people are excited about. They're both healthy, I believe. But one is a redshirt freshman, Tavian Gadsden. He's going to get a lot of reps. And when you go back and dig into his high school tape, the big thing was he's got size, he's got burst, he's got length, he's got a lot of tools, physical tools in the toolbox. He's just super raw. And Mark Stoops has even alluded to that. He's saying, he's got a lot of potential, but he's really, really raw. And so he's a guy to watch if it can kind of – that light can kind of come on for him, and he's going to get a lot of reps. I think you're going to see, he's one that'll stand out just from a physical standpoint. You'll be like, oh, that guy looks like an SEC defensive lineman. Mm-hmm. So he's one to watch because he's going to get a lot of reps Saturday because he's one of the few guys.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Healthy and Amos Stewart's room. Right.
Bob asks.
And Grant Godfrey too, Nick. I'll throw Grant Godfrey out there. I'm This is more in the weeds.
What numbers we got with those guys too? I forget. I don't even know their numbers.
22 for Godfrey, 94 for Gadsden.
Okay. Godfrey, new numbers, we're all learning.
Godfrey was a recruit everybody really liked. I think that was a nice win. They moved him inside. He was kind of on the Jamin Davis blueprint. Mm-hmm. He's not going to factor much this year, but I just want to see, is he comfortable kind of playing that spot? Because he's a big piece next year, because that room totally flips and they need him to be a quality starter for them next year.
Correct.
So now does he just look the part? Can you project him to be a starter next year? He's a key under the radar player, I think, for them this year, because they got to develop him into being a starting caliber player for next season.
I agree wholeheartedly. It's the this is when you need to start cooking, right? Let's see that bacon sizzle. It's not fried up and ready to go, but let's start to get those crackles. Get some pop. Bob asks on the KSR YouTube channel chat, will Anthony Brown Stevens have an elevated role this year in the offense? All right. First things first, Luckett. We got to get rid of the hyphen because his nickname is AB, but yet Stevens is the most defining part of that name right now.
So call him Abs.
Yeah, but everybody refers to him as AB, and I don't think that's easily picked up by everybody. So that part bugs me, but I'm having a hard time finding the right comp for him, except, like, you know, I can dig deep into my well, and it's not from a skill standpoint necessarily, but maybe just the kind of player he was, and maybe like a Tommy Cook, but that isn't correct because he was a transfer. Because the thing with AB is that, and I mean, I alluded to this last summer when we were around the team a little bit at some of those, you know, the camps and stuff like that. He really does things the right way. Like, he's the guy. I mean, Butch Hamden said they really want him to become a leader because he just does things the right way. Like, he's a really good kid. He's a hard worker. He studies film. Like, he's the guy. You want your best leaders to be your best players. Now, how long does that take him to get there? And in what capacity can he even do that with the guys around him? Or is this a... does he do things well enough that, like, he steals minutes from people who think they should be getting them, right? Who are on their paycheck years. So I don't know exactly what the arc is here, the career arc is for him, but there are expectations for him to be an important person in that wide receiver room. It's just how that manifests itself. I'm not entirely sure what that looks like from a production standpoint, but it's clear. I mean, like, let's be honest. Like, I think what they're saying is that they got a bunch of receivers, right? Like, how you think of receivers, but his head is screwed on tight and in the right direction. And they want hit. They want guy. Exactly. They want everybody to approach football more like he does, if that makes sense.
Yeah. First off, Anthony Brown Stevens is a true slot receiver. Line him up inside, getting matched up with safeties, linebackers. He's going to win with route running technique and short area quickness, burst, whatever you want to call it. Get open, catch the football, good hands, and that's who he is. That's the player he is. And then you look at Kentucky, they don't have a true, I would say, classified slot receiver, at least in the starters. You know, their top three, I mean, the clear top two is Dane Key and Berrian Brown. Mm-hmm. And then they went out and got Jamore Macklin to be in that first tier, right? The first three. Macklin hasn't played all spring. Liam Cohen wanted to play him in the slot. Not sure where Butch Hamden is going to want him. Macklin played mostly outside last year in North Texas in a kind of a total spread kind of version of the Art Briles, Josh Heupel offense. So, like, where does he end up lining up? So there could be a big role, I think, for ABS in the slot, but it's just kind of, where does he plug in? Because there's also tight ends, right, that you need to get in the lineup. So how much are you in 11? How much are you in 12? Is he getting on the field in 11? He's probably not getting on the field in 12. And you just kind of, he kind of have to figure that out. He's going to have a huge role next year. He's going to have a bigger role than, say, Grant Godfrey this year. But next year is kind of his bigger. You just need him to be a reliable person you can play and where there not be a huge drop-off when you put him in the game. And when opportunities come, you need him to take advantage. He got his feet wet last year, had a good first season for a true freshman receiver. True freshman receivers typically, Nick, just do not produce in this league. Like, it's very hard. It's a very hard position to come in and play in year one. So now he's got a year under his belt, hopefully added some strength in the offseason, improved from a technical standpoint as a football player, as a receiver, and you just need him to become, like, a good four. Kentucky hasn't had any good four wide receivers, so he can become that. I think that's the goal for him. And then the junior year is where you would, I think, hope to see the big jump. But this year is all about just showing, I think, some progression from year one to year two.
It's he's certainly going to be a player that we have to closely monitor in the future. And, you know, he could be another one that has a big day on Saturday, but I don't know how much of it is going to be telling on what his role will be this fall. I do want to remind you that we are presented by Monticello Bank, 11 Personnel's presenting sponsor that's been in business in the Commonwealth of Kentucky for over 128 years. Man, and I get so dyslexic sometimes with the county. 21 locations, 14 counties. See, if I just say it confidently, it's definitely true. It's manifesting itself into truth because Monticello Bank is the truth. They're putting people first because you matter first. They're putting the numbers on your side to get you the best rates possible, whether you're trying to finance your future with a home loan, buy a new car. Bank local, bank with Monticello Bank, where people matter. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Visit NBCBank.com or bank from your phone with the Go NBC mobile app. Like it, the game is 1 o'clock Saturday. If you can't get out to, last I checked, the weather looks awesome for it. So fingers crossed that holds, 60 and sunny. So we can't have another snowy spring game as we're driving into the Krogue. 1 p.m. SEC Network Plus, ESPN Plus. You can stream all of the action or be there. It's free. And it's not a whole game day, right? You just pull up and park. You don't have to deal with traffic, which is very nice. And it makes for fun just to get those tailgating, exercise those tailgating muscles a little bit. And if you want to go to Keeneland afterwards, what's this going to last? An hour and a half, 2 hours? They don't even have to fill up a time slot for SEC Network. It's just a stream. So I can't foresee this being an all-day event like you normally would at Kroger Field. So come on out and you'll enjoy a nice little spectacle. Get to see Brock Vandegrift throw it for the first time. Gerald Mincy the other day was talking about how far Brock could throw it. I'm like, damn, I wish he would have shown us the other day. We only saw him throw it underneath. So come on.
Yeah, I know.
Pull the pin.
We'll get to see some this weekend. And yeah, I'm excited about just getting able to get out and watch some football, Nick. Some people will be doing some partaking in the parking lot, tailgating. And when they will be tailgating, there will be something on the TV, and there will be something that will be on the iPad for us up in the box.
A tradition unlike any other, perhaps?
It'll be moving day at the Masters. We'll see Chris Vernon's Masters updates on Thursday and Friday. It's going to be a glorious day. One of my favorite weekends of the year. You can't beat the Masters. If you like golf at all, this is probably your top weekend of the year. And like we do every year on 11 Personnel for the major championships, we've got a betting preview here for Augusta. Horse racing and golf handicapping. That is what 11 Personnel does.
Oh, man. Maybe not and well. So, I handicapped the whole Keeneland card on Saturday. I don't know if I got one damn pick right, but.
You got to look at it as like a baseball player. If you go over 16, you're eventually due a 10 for 14 stretch. Like it's coming soon.
It's also spring training for me. You know, like you're not all the way in, if you will.
You haven't inputted the data into your mind. You haven't created your systems yet. You haven't figured out where you got to sit, what shirt you got to wear, what antic you got to do pre and during and the race. So yeah, you're just trying to figure that all out.
So what have you figured out so far from this?
Yeah, we talk about it every year. The Masters Augusta is a second shot golf course, right? You win this tournament with your irons, with your wedges. That's how you win at Augusta. Who creates the easiest putts? Who gets tee to green the best? The driver is not the most important stick in the bag this week, but your second shot is. So your approach, how do you get on the green? That is the most important metric this week. And for me, that's what I look at, Nick. And the number one player on the tour is Scottie Scheffler at approach. He's the best player in the world by far, and it's not really close right now. He's a boring bet, but I think it's a smart bet. I think he's plus 240 at FanDuel to win it. Just take it. Now, Scheffler, his wife is pregnant and could go into labor this weekend. So that is a variable I think you have to consider. But I still don't think it's a terrible bet. If he putts half decent, he's going to be hard to beat. I mean, he is an absolute stud right now. So that is, whenever you just get it into that, you have to realize that. And Nick, I think he was like minus 260 to make a top 10, which is just absurd. And
yeah, that's
like,
crazy.
It's truly absurd.
But it's also what it should be the way he's been playing. I mean,
yeah, he's just a freak right now.
He got that putter going a few weeks back, and you're like, well, who's stopping him now, you know?
Yeah, his Sunday at the Players was just like special stuff.
Yeah.
And so he's who you start off with.
That's a draft key. When you do your boards and you just like, all right, your tier A, you just got to blindly pick Scheffler as your tier A golfer.
Right. If you're building your DFS and he costs a lot, if you play fantasy golf, so you just have to consider, you know, everyone else is playing him. Do you want to be the dumbass that does it, right? And if he's T2 and everybody's gobbling up those points on Saturday and Sunday. So you have to ask yourself that, I think, going in. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's a safe bet, man, too. If you want to delay the juice, I think he probably hits that top 10, but that's a lot of to lay, yeah, to win something.
Do you have a sort of a top 10? I love top 10 and top 5 bets because I don't actually have to get home to win it all. I believe the first year we did this to Luckett, I don't know if you gave out a win bet, but I had a Masters winner, and there's nothing more exhilarating than picking the Masters winner. And I had it while driving somewhere on a spring break. This year, the timing's a little bit off, but listening to the Masters while your guy's trying to close it out, that's a fun ride. That's a fun ride. My one nugget that I had was just that I enjoyed from the Bear is that in the spring, last seven spring Masters, nobody in the top 10 the previous year has won it the following year. Like, you, there's not really like any sort of momentum that carries over. So the winner the year before probably wasn't in contention, because I thought about that with Brooks Koepka, where it's like, man, remember when he kind of came out of nowhere last year and then melted away on Sunday? Like, what if right now he comes out, but at the same time, it's like, well, that stat proves me wrong. And secondly, I think to your general blueprint, Brooks doesn't fit the mold of second shot heroes, right? Like, he's a big six swinger that does get his putter hot, but like, he's
grinding on the green, grinding around the green, big driver, big hitter. Mm-hmm. Brooks is more built for the U.S. Open, the PGA. And that's where we've seen him have the most success. He's contended here and had chances to win. So he's definitely, the hard part for me, Nick, is they're playing fake golf on Liv. So yeah. The data I like to use and pull, I just don't have any on them. And I tried to find some, and Liv's got like, of course they have a website, but it's like the most generic stats possible. So it's just like, it's hard for me to factor them in, because a guy like Cam Smith traditionally has a game, I think, fits Augusta. I think Justin Thomas and Colin Morikawa have games that fit this course, but they're just not playing well right now. So I can't touchdown. My big hot take is Morikawa is going to win this. So just bet him blind, because he's made for this course. It just hasn't happened yet, but I can't get there right now because he's just not playing well. But I have two top 10 plays I like.
Okay.
And that's one. That's probably my favorite wager too. First one, Shane Lowry, a plus 370. He's won a major, won the British Open, I believe back in 2020 or 2019, I believe it was when he won that. He finished T3 at Augusta in 2022. He typically does pretty well here he's got 9 top 25 finishes in the last 12 major starts. I just like him. I like him both in, if you would like him for a T10 or T20 or a top 20, top 10, or if you in a matchup or a three ball. So he's one I would consider. He right now at FanDuel top 10, Nick, is plus 360. The other one I like is probably my favorite play on the card this week. Corey Connors has recorded 3 consecutive top 10 finish at Augusta National. He's one of the best second shot players in the world. Like, it just fits his game, and it's showed up time after time. He's top 5 in strokes gained approach. You can get him to finish top 10 this week, Nick, at plus 450. So if you ask me, what's the one play, Luckett, that's my favorite play of the week is Corey Connors, top 10.
You heard it here first, folks. We got ourselves some winners. Hopefully you can cash some tickets this weekend at the Masters. And hopefully we can get some peace and quiet and enjoy it and get this coaching search wrapped up, spanked on the bottom. Got to get out here a little bit early so I can write about John Calipari's introductory press conference at Arkansas. Going to be kind of weird. So been a wild time. We appreciate you hopping on to talk a little football with us, a little bit of golf. Luckett, enjoy your final few days in a quiet house. I'm sure you're hating it oh so much.
Yeah, it's been definitely weird. I think Taylor's in here right now down in Florida watching this. So, hi, honey. But we've been so busy, man. It's just, like, it's been a crazy time.
Yeah, it has been a crazy time. I love somebody's calling me out, like, Ralph's trying to stay focused while he talks golf. They gotta find a damn live stream. Arkansas, get your stuff together. You know, I need a live stream. Got ESPN Plus. Come on. It's chaos. We're going to get to the chaos. And see you at the game on Saturday. We'll have a rapid reaction sharing everything right here on the KSR YouTube channel. So subscribe. Have content there. We'll have content on the website, content on KSR Plus. Appreciate y'all joining us. Go Cats and go Kroger Green.